I hate to interrupt. We're having a good time. What you complaining about? You saying hi? Good morning. I'm glad you guys are back. That's right. That's exactly right. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at three verses this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. We've gone through the armor of God, all these various pieces of equipment, and I'm going to suggest to you that this is just as important, if not more important, than all these we've been looking at. I'm going to take a moment here at the beginning of class and tell you about the next quarter. Starting a week from today, Larry White will be in here, and his series will be very practical. It's called... what is that?
Committed.
Boy, couldn't see that word. Committed to spiritual growth. And it's going to be very practical. And he's all primed, ready to go. This will allow me the opportunity to go into the high school class. And I'm really looking forward to that. I enjoy getting to know some of your kids and your grandkids. But this will be a very special opportunity for me to interact with them. And I know you'll enjoy Larry. Then we're going to switch. I'll be in classroom 8 with you on Sunday nights. We're going to study Colossians together. Colossians and some sessions on Philemon at the end of the quarter. On Wednesday night, we're also going to have a topical study. And it's going to be on encouragement. The title is Being a Barnabas. We'll just have 8 or 9 sessions together. Being a Barnabas. That'll start March 11th, the second Wednesday night of the month. All right, let's take a look here in Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 20. The way Paul begins this is he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So this is a sentence ending from the previous verse. And that's why he's got a participle here, praying. Instead of saying pray. Now, some of you may have a translation that says pray at all times, but it's actually connected to the previous sentence, which began all the way back in verse 16. You know how Paul's notorious for having long sentences. What is this connected to? The command to take up the shield of faith and to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So he had just talked about the sword of the Spirit. And now he says we are to pray at all times in the Spirit. Is there a connection between the sword of the Spirit and praying in the Spirit? Since the command is take the sword of the Spirit, praying, I think what he's doing is he's telling us how to wield this sword. One of the ways to do that, one of the key ingredients to utilizing the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is to pray. Does that make sense? We get God's Word in our head, we communicate with our Father, and it's extremely important that we do that. Prayer is one of the ways that we utilize God's Word. Otherwise, what are you going to say to God? Or I'll put it this way. You see many times in the New Testament, when we have prayers recorded for us, what do they do a lot of times? In addition to say, Lord, I need this and I need that and please help us with this. You tell people what's on your heart. Giving thanks, absolutely. Scripture. Does Scripture ever make its way into their prayers? It does. And I like it when people get up in front and actually quote Scripture. So all of this goes into our prayers. And you see the two words that he uses here. He's just said praying with all prayer and supplication. So these are some different words that are used. We're talking about warfare. And I've got a picture of a soldier up here on the screen. What is he doing? Is he A, ordering a pizza? Or is he B, communicating with headquarters? Hey, we need some support here. Some air support. Can you bring a helicopter and let them shoot up the enemy or drop a tornado on them? We need to be able to communicate. So God has communicated with us through his word. We communicate back to him. We let him know what our heart's needs, our heart's desires are. And we praise him and thank him. This guy is communicating. He's a soldier. Aren't you glad that we don't live in the first century world? How would a Roman legion communicate with headquarters? What could they do? Maybe they had some way of doing that sort of thing. What's that? Courier? Yeah, they would have to send a courier, something like that. So the radio enables somebody to communicate. We are praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. There are numerous passages that aren't part of a description of the armor of God that talk about our prayer life, and we're going to look at several of these this morning as we walk through this. We are going to continue to read in these verses, but I just want to focus on this idea of praying in the Spirit, and look at a couple of other passages with you. Here's a book we hardly touch, the little letter of Jude. And he talks about this, praying in the Holy Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. All right, so we just mentioned a moment ago some participles. There are three participles in this verse, and they are supporting the main verb. The main focus of these verses. What is it? What is the main focus? You've got building, praying, waiting. What's in the middle? What's the main verb? Praying. Well, that's a participle. So it's dependent on something else. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God is being supported by three participles. And I'm just talking grammar here. I'm not trying to get too detailed with it. Don't want to bore us too much. But the main verb is keep yourselves in the love of God. How do we do that? By building ourselves up in your most holy faith, by praying in the Holy Spirit, and by waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we take a moment and look at the whole sentence, Jude 20 and 21, just one chapter, Jude verses 20 and 21. You, beloved, keep yourselves in the love of God. How are you going to do that? By building yourselves up in the most holy faith. By praying in the Holy Spirit. By waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. When you pray, do you get instant results just like that? So sometimes you are going to need to wait for something. You're going to have to wait for the results. Well, put it in your own words then. Looking at it this way. What is Jude telling us in verses 20 and 21? What does it mean to keep ourselves in the love of God? A relationship.
So we're going to keep ourselves in love of God. It's to stay in that relationship. We're going to do those things that we should do.
I think that's right.
We're not going to be perfect, but we're going to strive to do that.
Noe? Did he steal your thunder?
Well, my brother said, yeah. But just recognizing that you've got to keep your sins in check. You've got to be walking on that straight path as close as you can. And then the Lord favors you to fall upon you.
Okay. So prayer isn't the only way that we keep ourselves in the love of God. In these verses, it's one of three ways. Or maybe the first two go together. Building yourselves up in the most holy faith. And praying in the Holy Spirit. After we pray, then we continue to wait for the mercy of our Lord God. That term wait, what does it mean? We just sit around twiddling our thumbs? in the Old Testament, we see this concept of waiting on the Lord. And in the passages where it describes it, one of the most famous is Isaiah 40. He's talking about us trusting in the Lord. We make our petitions known to Him. We pour our heart out to Him. You have God's people in Isaiah 40, for example, saying, "Have you forgotten about us? We're in Babylonian captivity and we feel neglected. We're 70 years of Babylonian captivity." And they're waiting and they're wondering. And what he says is, God took care of the Egyptians. God created the world, the universe. He can take care of you. He knows what's going on. We need to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. How are we going to do that? The Word. It goes back to our study of the Word. We could also include our relationship with each other. What's the most famous verse in the little letter of Jude? He says, "I wanted to write to you about our common salvation, but I feel compelled instead to talk to you about what?" What does he say? What is the little letter of Jude about? Say that again. Contending earnestly for the faith. How are we going to do that? We're going to have to know what the faith is, what the body of doctrine is. That's part of building ourselves up in the most holy faith. Knowing God's Word. I'm connecting this with what Paul said in Ephesians 6. We're to take wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How are we going to wield it if we don't use it? That's what we talked about last week. If we don't know it, I should say. That's what we talked about last week. We're going to build, in this verse, he says, we're going to build ourselves up, we're going to pray, and by doing that, we're going to keep ourselves in the love of God. The main focus of this passage is keep yourselves in the love of God. It's a command. You do that by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit and waiting, trusting in the Lord. I hope that's helpful to us. Earlier in the book of Ephesians, Paul had made this statement. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. When we put off the old self, we're putting off sin. We're not going to live in sin any longer. We're not going to live in the mindset of the world that is so corrupt. And I mentioned this verse because this is also part of how we keep ourselves in the love of God. We get rid of the junk that's trying to infiltrate our hearts and our lives. And he goes on to talk about, in Ephesians 4, about spiritual growth. Actually, he already had, and he continues to do that. He starts in verse 17 of Ephesians 4. "You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them." That is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through evil desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. That's Ephesians 4. I just read through verses 17 through 24. How do these verses relate to our discussion this morning? Does he mention prayer specifically? No. But he's saying in order to have a right relationship with God, we're going to have to put off the old self and put on the new self, the new creation of God. How do we do that? Change our thinking. How do we actually experience the new creation? We would say baptism. Just like he says earlier in the chapter, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that's how we come in contact with the blood of Christ. And what then becomes one of the great spiritual blessings that we have in Christ? Forgiveness of sin. I mean, we can go on and on. Forgiveness of sin. One of those would certainly be prayer. Prayer, the seal of the Holy Spirit. We need access to the blood of Christ. We need access to God through prayer. And the only way we're going to be able to, I'm going to go back to this verse we were looking at just a moment ago. The only way we're going to keep ourselves in the love of God is if we put away sin. If you're a Christian soldier and you're trying to stand firm against the temptations of the devil, against the evil forces, what are you going to need? The belt of truth. Whose truth? God's truth, the gospel. What else are you going to need? The helmet of salvation. All right, I'm going to go in order, so we make sure we get them right. Starting in verse 14 of Ephesians 6, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. The only other place righteousness is mentioned is in Ephesians 4, verse 24. The only other place it's mentioned in Ephesians. But he does mention the righteousness and holiness of God that we are striving for. We need God's righteousness, which is only available to us by putting off sin. And then the gospel boots, we said, being prepared to carry the gospel and proclaim it. Verse 16, the shield of faith, the shield of faith. With which you can extinguish all the darts of the evil one, the helmet of salvation that Gus just mentioned, and then that brings us to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. I'm trying to saturate us with what Paul is describing here. Somebody who is putting on the new self, who is trying to remain in the love of God, this is someone who is going to stand firm against the devil, armed with the armor of God. And an integral piece of that is prayer. We need prayer to help us in our fight against the devil. Yes, sir. Right. And that would make an excellent sermon, wouldn't it? And those are participles as well. So he's telling us to be filled with the Spirit there at the end of Ephesians 5. And then he starts saying, how, or in the middle of Ephesians 5. And then he says, how are we going to do that? By addressing, there is your participle, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's referring to all the psalms of the Old Testament. Singing and making melody in your hearts. That's not simply talking about scriptural New Testament worship. It's talking about how we are filled with the Spirit. Our singing is an integral part of being filled with the Spirit. And giving thanks always. So that's an excellent, excellent point. Our prayer, is it simply something we do on Sundays a couple of times and before meals? Is that what God intends for prayer to be? Continual. I put in the notes 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. It's verse 19. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, where Paul says very simply, pray without ceasing. And in many of his letters, he begins them by saying, I pray always, or every time I pray. Either way, he's saying, I'm praying a lot. I'm praying a lot for you. The Holy Spirit actually helps us with our prayers. Do you remember that? So we're connecting the Spirit with prayer because that's what Paul did in Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 20. We're going to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, praying always in the Spirit. And that is certainly talking about our relationship with the Spirit. All right, let me remind you of these verses here. Romans 8, 16, 17. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may be glorified with Him. We're not going to talk about suffering and glory right now. But the Spirit bears with our spirit that we are children of God. How does the Holy Spirit do that? Why does prayer make you more humble?
God wants us to be humble.
Yeah.
And I think that is a form of it. I'm not saying that. I don't know how to fully describe it, but I think prayer should bring a sense of humility, which I think brings us before God in a better way.
Absolutely. So is it Peter? Peter says that we are to humble ourselves in the presence of God, and He will lift you up. In that same context, he talks about prayer, casting all your care on Him. 1 Peter 5. Boy, verse 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. So we've got humility, humble yourselves, and we've also got this idea of, here's my heart, Lord. I'm giving it to you. I'm sharing with you all the burdens, all the cares and concerns that I have. What did Paul say in Philippians 4, 6 and 7? That we are to pray, letting our requests be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Same word he used here, same phrase he used in Ephesians 6, verses 18 and 19. We are to let our requests be made known unto God. I know this is all reminding us of what we're very much aware of. But prayer helps us not just let God know, hey, I'm here and I need your help. It is a means of worship. It is a means of letting Him know we know He is in control and we need His help. Yes, sir. Absolutely. And so the prayer before the meal is important. Yes, sir? No.
Maybe I should be so bold as to say that our worship service here at Parkway can use, maybe incorporate more prayer throughout the worship service somehow, some way. That's, I guess, the elders have talked about that. But maybe we don't pray now. Just we relegate to the beginning, the end, and the Lord's Supper, but we should probably have different men come up, maybe pray for certain things like that. Maybe like that brother makes.
Yeah, EPA, yeah. We have singings. We have monthly singings. I know of churches, and I know this church has also dedicated a service to prayer. There's no set number of prayers in Scripture. I tell you one thing I love that Parkway does. What we do is we start our service with prayer. I love that on Sunday mornings. Have you ever been working on your computer and the internet goes out? You had that experience? I have it from time to time here at the building. What do you do then?
Panic.
Okay. You may if you got a deadline and you got a paper you're working on and you're trying to get it out there. How do you feel when the internet goes out? Oh, it's okay. It's all right. I can just keep working. It's no big deal. Oh, no. Panic, frustration. That's what prayer is for us. It used to be there was no internet. And can you remember the days when our computers didn't have internet? You're old. It's hard to remember that. It's really hard. I went back to school after, I don't know, 15, 20 years. And we didn't have all that technology. It was in the mid-90s when I graduated, or really early 90s. It was soon after that that Al Gore invented the internet, made that available to us. You look at your computer now, and if it's not connected to the internet, what is it worth? It's a brick. It's a fancy, expensive paperweight. That's what we are without prayer. And that's what these verses are trying to describe to us. We need this constant line of communication with our Father. That's why, as he describes all these various pieces of armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel boots, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, getting out of order now. Prayer is an integral part of that. How often should we pray? Praying at all times in the Spirit. We use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we are to be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Let's continue looking at these verses. And then he says, keep alert with all perseverance. Keep alert with all perseverance. That goes hand in hand, I think, with this praying at all times. Keeping alert. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, also for me, that the words may be given to me whenever, he goes on to say, whenever I'm preaching. You have this idea of praying at all times. We've already mentioned 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. Let me remind you of these beautiful verses. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 describe Jesus as our high priest. This is what he says in verse 16. Let me stop. The prophet, if the prophet represents God to the people, this is very simplistic. If the prophet represents God to the people, what is the role of the high priest? As he offers sacrifices on behalf of the people, prays on behalf of the people. Okay, so the prophet represents God to the people. The high priest represents the people to God. That's what Jesus does for us as our high priest. We pray through him to the Father. It's not simply a tradition that at the end of our prayers we say, in the name of Jesus we pray. What we're acknowledging is that we are praying in the name of Jesus, who is our high priest. He is granting us access to the Father. Let us then with confidence draw near. Because we have Jesus as our high priest, we can draw near to the throne of grace with confidence. Why do we do that? Why do we go to the throne of God? According to the rest of this verse. We're looking for mercy. We're trying to find grace to help in time of need. How often do you need God? Every Sunday, every time your checking account is out of money. What does a song say? I need thee every hour. Every hour. We also sing a song about a sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. When's the last time you prayed an hour? When's the last time you prayed more than 5 minutes? Not that we're timing our prayers necessarily, but I wonder if we really spend enough time in prayer, as Noe was saying. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're saying that, by saying that, you are acknowledging you believe in the power of prayer. It's not just to make us feel good. It's because we know we are coming into the very throne room of God Himself. And He is the creator of the universe. This is all part of waiting on the Lord, trusting in the Lord. That He can and that He will answer our prayers. So I hope I'm making the connection here with the armor of God. We need this line of communication, this constant line of communication with God. Excellent. We do need to pray. Whether or not we pray enough in our worship assembly, I think we do. I think it would be great for us to have I think it would be good for us to have times when we pray in a service that we dedicate to maybe song or just prayer. And we do have people pray for very specific needs. I'm a big believer in praying for not just generalities, but to be specific for people, for situations, just like we see in the New Testament. We see both generalities, but we also see a lot of significance. Specific prayer. We're trying to find grace to help in time of need. How often do you need God's help? How often do you need help? And Tyler was talking about that element of humility. What does that say about our self-importance, our ability to take care of ourselves, when we are constantly going to God and saying, I need your help? We're surrendering to Him. Pray at all times. Pray at all times. Here's another verse that talks about that. Luke 18, Jesus tells a parable. And here's why He tells that parable. Because He wants His disciples to pray all the time and not lose heart. Now, I don't think this verse is necessarily indicating we need to be praying without ceasing all the time. What He means by that is we should never give up. We keep praying to God. We let Him know what our heart's desire is. And we need to be believing that He hears us and that He will answer us. And if we are persistent. Because we need to wait on the Lord. It's not going to happen instantaneously. Whatever it is that we're praying for, necessarily. Necessarily. I think about the prayer of the apostles in Acts 4, when they had just come back from being persecuted by the Sadducees. And they prayed not that the persecution would stop. They prayed that God would help them in the face of that persecution to preach with boldness. And where they were gathered together, what happened after that prayer? The building was immediately... Y'all remember this? I know you do. Wasn't it Acts 4? Am I remembering wrong? The building where they were at began to shake. And then what did they do after that? Acts 4, beginning of verse 23. When they were released, the apostles, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, see the respect that they have as they address God, as the Almighty. Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit. So here they are quoting scripture in their prayer. Why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? They're quoting Psalm 2. And they're applying it to their situation. The Gentiles are rebelling, and they're comparing that to the elders and the chief priests who were rebelling against God. Verse 27, their words resume, For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed with both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel. So they start recounting their recent history with Jesus and his death on the cross. Verse 29, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So they don't pray that the persecution will stop. They pray for boldness in the face of this persecution. Verse 31, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. My point is, their prayer was answered immediately in this verse, in this passage. It's not always going to be answered immediately for us. I guess it depends on what we ask for and how God wants to respond to that. But they knew persecution was only going to get worse, and they wanted God's help in the face of that persecution. Where did they learn to pray like this? The apostles, where do they learn to pray such a powerful prayer like this? In fact, it's Luke 11, verse 1, where it says that Jesus was praying. Luke really emphasizes the prayer life of Jesus more than the other Gospels, I suppose. And after Jesus finishes praying, they approach him and say, Lord, teach us to pray. John taught his disciples, we want you to teach us. Isn't that beautiful? We pray, we learn to pray from Jesus by his example. And we see him praying fervently and passionately. We need to pray. I mean, God in the flesh, talking with God, his Father. All right, I better keep going. We're also told to keep alert in Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to continue here, basing this on the verses we're looking at. Ephesians 6 says we are to pray at all times. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. That's Ephesians 6, verse 18. Here's a verse maybe to supplement that. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. That's that same idea, that same concept of being vigilant, always watching. First Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be watchful or vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, what's the rest of that verse say? Prowls about like a roaring lion. We need to constantly be watchful, and we're going to do that with prayer. Prayer is to be an integral part of our daily walk with God. Keep alert at all times. All right, we've been talking about waiting on God to answer our prayers. Do you ever feel like he doesn't answer your prayer? I'm not going to break into a Garth Brooks song here. I'm not going to talk about unanswered prayer in that way. Do you remember in our study of Philippians, these verses, at the very beginning? I mean, here we are, we're almost done with the book, Philippians 4. Here's Philippians 1, where Paul is talking to the Philippians, and he says, I want you to know, brothers, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. This is right after he had that beautiful prayer in Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And then he's starting to talk to them about his situation and his need for prayer from them. But let's think about this. I want you to know that what has happened to me has worked out great for the gospel. What has happened to Paul? He was arrested. What for? He was shoplifting? The terrible crime of preaching the gospel. What has happened to me? I have been in prison. And he says, this has turned out great. It has really served to advance the gospel. Because he has been able, under house arrest in Rome, well, at first he was in Caesarea, then taken to Rome, under house arrest for 2 years. During that time period, what was he able to do? Teach who? Caesar's household. Members of Caesar's household. The whole imperial guard. That's Philippians 1, 12 and 13. At the end of the book, as he's finishing up, giving his greetings, and this is what we'll actually look at tonight, Philippians 4, verse 22, all the saints greet you. Oh, by the way, especially those of Caesar's household. Paul, because of his imprisonment, was able to teach people, able to reach people with the gospel, that he never would have had an opportunity to do that. Did Paul like being under house arrest? Did they have a ping pong table and, you know, lift weights, and he enjoyed being under house arrest? No, he wanted to be free. He wanted to be able to preach the gospel. He's a Roman citizen. He wants to be able to go where he wants to go. Do you think he ever prayed to God, release me? Absolutely. He hints at that very strongly in many of his statements. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about a very specific request he made of God. And I say specific, and yet we don't really know what it is. This thorn in the flesh that Satan is using to buffet me, to persecute me. Paul didn't pray once. How many times did he pray that this thorn in the flesh would be taken away from him? Three times. So this was obviously really difficult for Paul. Whatever it was, this thorn in the flesh, something, maybe it was physical, maybe it was the persecution he was facing, something was affecting him, so much so that he prayed very specifically three times, remove this from me. And what was the answer all three times? No, I'm not going to take it away because my grace is sufficient for you. And then Paul goes on to say, I have learned strength through weakness. I've learned to be strong through weakness in Christ. So sometimes we may think God isn't answering our prayer, when in fact He is answering our prayer. He's saying, no. Did you give your kids everything they ever asked for? I want to stay over at so-and-so's house. Well, no, it's a school night. You can't do that. I want this or that. And you know, we can't afford it. God doesn't always give us what we want. And we need to appreciate that about prayer. Ma'am? He does. He gives us what we need even when we think, that's not what I needed. That's not what I wanted. I've got time for one more verse this morning outside of Ephesians 6. It says Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was sweating drops of blood, Luke tells us. His sweat was like great drops of blood. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. What is Jesus referring to? The crucifixion, the pain and agony of the crucifixion. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but your will. But as you will. Do you think Jesus is using prayer here as a weapon against the devil? Because what is the devil doing? He's the one who's about to cause Jesus to be arrested. He is praying and using it as a weapon. So what we've done in our study, just for the past couple of months, is look at the full armor of God. And I'd like to close by reading these verses again. Verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might, not in ourselves, in His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore. Take up the whole armor of God. Verse 14, excuse me. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. We can summarize that by saying gospel boots. Verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Are we done? Praying at all times. in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. We'll have to stop there. Thank you for studying with me. I know you look forward to having Larry on Sunday mornings starting next week.